Well, good morning.
Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, but Lord, I pray that I don't point to me, but I point to He who sent me. That, Lord, as we explore your word, as we talk about high expectations and high grace, that, Lord, we approach your throne. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Brian Colligan, as they said before, and I am the student director here, and I'm going to talk very fast because much like I preach down in the 9:30, I have 20 minutes, and 20 minutes is too long for a middle schooler's attention span. So we're going to go fast. We're going to be quick. We got a lot of moving parts this morning. Also, I wanted to explain my dress this morning, why I am dressed this way. I am not clergy. I don't wear the vestments. And in fact, this is actually the shirt I wore to my first interview here with several of the lay people here. And Court Smith, who was on that group, asked me, Brian, why are you wearing that shirt? And I said, well, I dress for the job I want, not the job I have. See, I want to be the student pastor that wears a pink cactus shirt in front of people because I'm accessible to students and accessible to parents. And I really can't take myself that seriously. I work with students and they constantly tell me, I had one this morning, Brian, you need more buttons on your shirt. Okay, all right. You know, they're going to be brutally honest. And so this morning, that's what I hope to be for all of you, is brutally honest, is to be 100% who I am and talk you through high expectations, high grace. And so as we kick into this new series, we're talking about baptism, which is great that we had a baptism this morning. We got to witness that. But I also thought it was funny that I get to teach on baptism, being that I didn't grow up Methodist. In fact, I grew up Anglican and Episcopal, and then for the last several years, I worked in a non-denominational church. And actually, the first church I worked in, so I was baptized as an infant, then the first church I worked in was a Grace Brethren church, which many of you are probably unfamiliar with, but they asked me to, in order to receive the job, to be baptized again. And I wanted the job, so I said yes. And so they baptized very differently. They baptized by immersion. And so most of you think of immersion, they go backwards, right? Well, we baptize three times forward. So think about someone's face just slamming in the water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? We really wanted them to feel like this is death, like it's coming, and raised again, right? Anyway, all joking aside, I'm excited to talk with you all about baptism this morning and also share with you what we believe at St. Andrew about baptism, but also kind of walk you through my process as I got there. So there's a couple questions that I'll ask throughout this. And those of you who have grown up Methodist and know this backwards and forwards, give me grace. I am still learning. I am still growing. And so are many of us in the room who maybe didn't grow up Methodist. So stick with us this morning. I'm also going to move a lot. The cameraman's really got his job cut out for him. I'm ADD, and so we're going to fly. But that is my baptism journey. But let us jump in. And I think one of the greatest pictures of God's high grace is baptism. We witnessed one this morning, but also many of you have seen baptism before, whether it's by immersion, sprinkling, splashing, all are acceptable methods, but must be done with water. And so you saw the water get sprinkled on Sophia this morning. And we see that as a display, a cleansing display of our sin. And we reaffirm our own baptismal vow of, Lord, continue to change me, continue to wash me, continue to make me like you. Baptism is also a sacrament. And I want to get this right, so I'm going to read it off my notes. A sacrament is a religious ceremony or a ritual imparting divine grace. It's not needed to have the forgiveness of sins, but it imparts that, it displays that, it's an illustration of that. And so, two, baptism is one of the things that we see Jesus partake in his ministry here on earth. And because I'm the student ministry director, you're going to see students up and down off the stage throughout the message. But this morning, I have Emma Coleman, who's going to join me up on stage, and she's going to read the first passage that we have this morning. Emma is a sophomore at Jasper High School. Come on up. You're good. You're good. And she's going to read for us Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. It'll also be up on the screen. But I love how our students have been serving this morning. Maybe you looked around. Maybe you saw that the ushers looked a little younger than usual. Those are all our students. And so we call this a Student Serve Sunday. So they're going to be all over the place. Emma, take it away.
I think this is this on? Okay, yeah.
You're on. You're good.
At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news."
Let's clap it up for Emma. I mean, come on. Like, the word of God spoken by teenagers is an amazing thing. And such a cool part and a cool way to incorporate our students into the service this morning. Now, I've witnessed and seen many baptisms, and I'll be honest with you, I've never seen the heavens open up. It just hasn't happened for me. But I do see this constant reminder of God's grace, God's prevenient, I got it right, grace. This grace that rests and is always there, always available. See, that's the belief that we have in the Methodist Church of God's prevenient grace, which is the grace that has always been and always will be. It is the grace that we see upon Christ in this passage in Mark. And this morning, I've been thinking and racking my brain as I've been trying to come up with a way to explain this to you. So in a moment, we're about to have the most chaotic scene that we might ever have in church. As I have seventh grade boys, you guys can grab it. They're going to bring an object lesson to right here. It might fall over. It might break. We're just going to laugh about it because God's grace is not nearly this fragile. But as I was trying to think of how do I explain the idea, I could see people like holding their breath. They're going to do great. These are seventh grade boys. This is Tyler Eagle and Carter, and they're going to get it here. Look at the carefulness of their steps. I love this. And when they set it down, if it makes it, we clap. If they don't, we let out a collective gasp and we'll just continue on. Yep, they took off a piece. That's okay. But when I was thinking about how do we explain prevenient grace, the idea that kept coming to me was this law of potential energy. So if you, it's okay. It's okay. God's grace is not that fragile. It's okay. That's fine. That's fine. Just leave it that way. That's fine. That's fine. Physics, which is why we also have a display on the screen. So the law of potential energy states, and we should have this slide coming up, law of potential energy, PE equals MGH, which means potential energy is the equation of mass times gravity times height. Okay, so the other way that we can think of it, because I know some of you came and you're like, hey, Brian, I left high school years ago, or I'm not in physics, so what's the point? I'll get there. The way I like to think of it is this picture. So you have a rock at the top of a hill, right? And it's potential. It's sitting there. It's waiting. It's ready to go. And so that energy is sitting. It is available, but it's not in movement. See, the same is true of prevenient grace. It has always existed. It's always there. See, it's like this marble in my pocket. If I were to drop it, and I'm telling you this because I was practicing this morning and I did drop it, it would bounce and roll and find a flat spot just under your seat, sir. And there it would rest. But the reality is this, just like God's grace, has all that potential energy, all the grace stored up for us and is waiting for us to accept it, is waiting for us to put in that movement, that acceptance of grace, and then it begins to move. Now, it's a little broken, so it's just going to drop out, but it's okay. So the same is true of this, right? As soon as I let go of this marble, it is going to start rolling. It is going to start moving through this process, which is God's justifying grace. It is the driving and moving towards a more Christ-likeness. It is lined up. It is adhered to the likeness of Christ. And so it's this constant and ever-moving process of our growth in Christ, this repentance going back and forth, which is actually called sanctification. It is our growing in the likeness of Christ. So I'm going to drop it because why not? We brought all the effort of getting it up here. And so it's going to move. It's going to go back and forth. It's going to spin. It's going to spiral. It's going to drop eventually out the bottom, boom, onto the stage. The same is true for our life as a Christian. When we accept God's prevenient grace in our life and it moves, it begins to grow us in a process that makes us look more like Jesus until we reach the end. And we hope that God says the same thing that he said to Jesus in that passage of Mark, "I am well pleased with you." And that's what I'm driving for. That's what my understanding of God's prevenient and justifying grace does in my life. Now, there's a passage that I would love to read for you that says it so much better than I could. And I'm actually going to move a little piece over here so I can see it on the screen down here. But if you look on the screen, we have a passage from 1 Peter chapter 3. It says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death, the body, but made alive in spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. While the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves also you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge of clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with the angels, authorities, and power in submission to him." I started out this morning talking how this is a new series called High Expectations, High Grace. But until we understand the level of grace that God is willing to give us and gave us through the death of his son and the resurrection again, we still don't fully understand our expectations. And this morning, I wanted somebody to share their story with you so that you could see this and how it plays out in real life. Because we can talk a lot about it, but until we hear it testified and in a testimony from somebody, I don't think we can fully grasp his grace. So this morning, I have a freshman from Shepton High School named Erin Finan. She is a fantastic young lady who's going to share her story. And this is one that's still playing out. Right? She was baptized. Well, I don't want to get into it. Never mind. I'm just going to let Erin go. Go ahead, Erin.
As Brian said, I'm Erin Finan, and I've been a part of the student ministry here at St. Andrew's for almost 4 years, and it has truly become a second home to me. I was raised in a Christian household my entire life with my mom working in church ministry, and that is also where I was baptized as an infant. After my baptism and throughout my preschool/elementary school years, I went to Sunday school every week with my family, not because I wanted to, but it was just simply what my family did every Sunday. Fast forward to my fifth grade year, COVID shut down everything, and during that year of quarantine, I completely forgot about God. I didn't watch any of the live streams provided here by St. Andrew's, I didn't pray, and I didn't make an effort to grow my relationship with God. Then my sixth grade year came around, and this is the year when you can join the student ministry here. I remember my first mission trip, I treated it like a week-long playdate in the sense that I had just been isolated from my friends during quarantine, and now I have a church full of them. How could I focus on what I was here for? God. For the next year, I went to Sunday school. I went to 412, but still for the wrong reasons. I saw it as an opportunity to hang out with friends. Summer comes around, and my mom signed me up for the Oklahoma City mission trip. And when I found out, I was very apprehensive and convinced on not going. Newsflash, I did end up going. But little did I know, it was the best choice my mom could have made for me. To this day, that is still my favorite student trip I've been on. And because of this first time, I claimed a relationship with God. And it was the start of my walk in faith. A few months later, I went to Camp Impact, and I was actually listening to the lessons. I was worshiping, and I grew my faith even further. I got home, and like everyone else, eventually that camp high wore off, and I stopped reading scripture. I wasn't praying like I was at camp, and I wasn't as focused on God as much as I should have been. I still went to Sunday school, but I wasn't making an effort to learn about Jesus and God's word on my own time outside of church because I really didn't know how to pray or comprehend the Bible. Luckily, that same year happened to be my confirmation year, and I learned all of those things. It answered all of my questions I had about the Bible, how to read scripture without it sounding like a second language, and how to pray without feeling pressured to use big words that I didn't know the meaning of. That was last year, and I couldn't be more happy with the status of my relationship, not only with God, but also the church. My faith is still growing to this day, and I can confidently walk into church and feel at my second home because of all the trips and Sunday sermons that are provided to me. Most importantly, now I choose to go to church because it's an opportunity for me to learn more about God's word and not because I feel obligated to. Thank you, Brian, for giving me this opportunity to tell my journey in faith. Thank you for my mom for giving me the privilege to go on all these trips. Thank you to staff to create a safe space for not only me, but hundreds of other students here at St. Andrews. And thank you all for listening.
Thanks, Aaron. Clap it up. I mean, right? Yeah, absolutely. Right, Aaron's story is probably not much different from ours. We were baptized as infants and God's prevenient grace was upon us, but until we took some time to invest in our faith, to take some time to seek out God and to understand it, then the transformative work begins, right? And I love Aaron's story because it ebbs and flows. There were moments of, hey, I was on that camp high, but then there were moments where I kind of came low and I departed, but it was faith that grew me back. It was relationship that drew me in. And so this is where, when we understand God's high grace, the expectations increase. Because we just sat here and we affirmed our baptismal vows, but also to watch and walk beside someone who's new in faith, who has accepted that baptism and is moving as our part of our church family. See, that's the other piece of baptism. It's not just for the washing of our sins and the cleansing of us. It's also the bringing in into community. And so the expectations upon all of us is to be prayerful, to be present, and to witness to one another in that vow. And so what does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us sitting in this room? What does it mean for us as we leave this room? Well, the first one I want to challenge you with is to be prayerful. The expectation that we are praying for one another. This morning as I prepared, I had so many texts, Brian, I'm praying for you. And thank God, because not everything works out, right? But I also had prayers from friends at other churches going, Brian, I know you're speaking this morning, praying that God's word is preached. But then, too, what I hope you're doing is not praying for us as clergy, because know that our clergy is praying for you, and you are constantly lifted up in prayers. We get a prayer email almost every day of prayer requests for you, and I take a moment, and I stop, and I pray. But also pray for our students, pray for your students, pray for your grandkids, pray for the people in your life that they may know and experience God's grace. That Lord, they would accept your prevenient grace and start moving in this justification, sanctification process. Are your prayers and petitions faithful and loyal daily? Your presence. I think this is one of the most underrated, undervalued part of our peace in this as a church. One of my favorite things to do with our student ministry team is to go and greet at Shepton High School, which you know is just down the street. Because what I get to do is be a shining bright face on Monday morning. As students come in, I'm like, hey, how's it going? Happy Monday. It's good to see you. And there are some kids that hate my guts, right? In fact, the other week I was walking, this girl walked in. I was like, hey, how's it going? And she looked past me and goes, hey, Sophia. And then just kept walking, right? Like, but it's that ministry of presence. Even last night, Trent and Melissa, who are part of our ministry team, were at Mean Girls to see our students perform, to be present with them. What does it mean for us in this room too? Is that if we're having a ministry of presence, instead of moving away from students who might be sitting near you, being too loud or being a distraction, we move towards them. We actually put our arm around them and worship with them, not away from them. It means when the baby cries in the back row, instead of shooting a dirty look and reminding that mom that there's nursery care, we actually move towards them and we try and embrace them and we love them. That presence of body and spirit together. And then lastly, our witness. And this is the one that takes us outside this building as well. This is where we produce and invest in our witness. Who we are outside of these walls should illustrate the greatness and the high grace and expectation we have within these walls. Is that when we're our witness, no matter where we work or where we are, whether you're a C-suite executive or a stay-at-home mom or the front desk lady at a school, wherever you find yourself, your witness should speak volumes of who you are and whom's you are. Is that when we understand his grace, we move differently. We are transformed through it. For years and years in high school, I would show up to church hoping for this big moment, right, where the pastor would say, Brian, you've been messing up, change. Or that the worship song would hit just right, and I would go, oh, this is the moment, right? This is where God's going to take over my life. Because I think most people come to church looking to be transformed and walk away disappointed because they don't understand God's grace. It's not the pastor's message, it's not the worship, but it's actually the understanding and the growing in knowledge of God's grace that transforms our life For years, I sat here going, I understand grace. It's my get out of hell free card. It's given to me because it's free and I can accept that. But the reality is when I fully understood what God did for me, it changed who I was. It changed what I was and my witness outside of this building, of the church, changed. And so this morning, I don't know why you came to church. I hope it is to seek and to be more transformed into the likeness of Christ. And so as I wrap up, I'd love to read a hymn, actually, that I think sums it up very well, that says it better than I can. And it says this: Wash, O God, our sons and daughters, where your cleansing waters flow. Number them among your people. Bless as Christ blessed long ago. Weave them garments bright and sparkling. Compass them with love and light. Fill, anoint them, send your spirit, holy dove, and heart's delight. Oh, how deep your holy wisdom, unimagined all your ways. To your name be glory, honor. With our lives we worship, praise. We, your people, stand before you, water washed and spirit born. By your grace, our lives we offer. Recreate us, God, transform. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray that they hear your words this morning. And that for those of us who came to be transformed, that we hear and grow in a greater understanding of your grace. That, Lord, whether we're in a low point or a high point, we learn that your grace is what transforms us. It is your grace that drives us to you and into your likeness. Let us be gracious in all places and all spaces that we find ourselves. Let us be your witness in both presence and prayer to all those that surround us. Father, it's in your name I pray. Amen.